Our first speaker did her undergraduate work at New Mexico State University. I know that's not in Texas, but in Lubbock, where I was growing up, I always heard the phrase, same difference. I don't really know what that means, but that's, you know, that's kind of the same difference if you're from New Mexico State. And then she did her law school work at Baylor School of Law. She founded the McPheeters law firm, where she does appellate work. And she's here today to talk to us about medical bills in car crash cases. Here is Morgan McPheeters.
Good morning. All right. Thrilling way to start a Friday, talking about medical expenses in car crash cases. There are a few other presentations today on our program that dabble in some of these topics. So my goal here in our 30 minutes together is to just kind of give you sort of a 30,000 foot view, and then let some of these other presenters get into a little bit more on the strategy and more intricacies. All right, so what I'm going to cover, make sure I get this a little closer, is, like I said, just kind of the 101 on 18001, everyone's favorite statute, right? And then I've got some coverage on, does it imply in federal court? What happened with In Re Allstate, and how is that impacting how this all works now? Some interesting cases that are kind of percolating and pending at the Texas Supreme Court right now. And then I'm going to get into some discovery issues related to In Re K&L Auto Crushers, which, of course, deals with the discovery of insurance reimbursement rates and all kinds of other interesting stuff for purposes of challenging reasonableness. So just to kind of give us a little bit of a background, so we're all starting on the same foot, because I know that sometimes you go to these things, and if you aren't super experienced in the particular practice area and people start rattling off statute names and acronyms, it can be really annoying. So just to give us all kind of the first equal footing, we know that recovery of medical expenses in car crash cases or any personal injury case is going to be limited to the amounts that are actually paid or incurred and that are reasonable and necessary. So before we had 18001, plaintiffs always had to bring an expert to trial to testify as to reasonableness and necessity. Those are two issues that require expert testimony, so you got to either bring them live or via depo, but it had to be every single time. And so that was, of course, very costly, not very efficient, especially for smaller cases. So the legislature created 18001, which is a procedural statute and an evidentiary statute. So it was meant to provide some cost savings and a shortcut for plaintiffs to prove up and for defendants to challenge medical bills. It applies to other types of damages as well, like attorney's fees. So with 18001 in place, a plaintiff can use an affidavit attesting to reasonableness and necessity without calling an expert at trial if that affidavit is uncontroverted. So what is the affidavit? As I said, it's an affidavit that talks about the amount that a person was charged for a service being reasonable and that the service itself was necessary. If that affidavit is uncontroverted, it can constitute on its own sufficient evidence that a jury could rely on to find reasonableness and necessity and award those medical expenses. It's not conclusive, but it can be sufficient evidence. And if you don't use 18001 as a plaintiff in a personal injury case, you're right back where you started, which is you got to bring an expert. Who can make this initial 18001 affidavit? There's a couple different options. You can have the person who provided the service or the person who's in charge of the records, so your custodian of billing records, for example, at a doctor's office. Doesn't need to be an expert, doesn't need to be a medical provider. The Gunn versus McCoy case from the Texas Supreme Court says it can be an insurance subrogation agent because they were the custodian of those records.